Okay, we'll remember that the very first time we met, we had the most important principle of building relationships, honoring. That means attaching high value to your mate. The second area we got into was what it means to be the head of the home or the lover. It means to nurture your mate, your wife, as you would a garden, and providing whatever is necessary for the growth and well-being. The third area we got into was how to maintain harmony through forgiveness. It means untying our mate. It means not stepping on the spirit of our mate so that she closes her mind, her will, and her emotions, and physically closes up to us. And it's important that every day we maintain that open spirit so that we do not have disharmony. Broken relationships come from the spirit closing because you lose your feelings and your desire. Okay, the fourth principle of building relationships is a concept that actually motivates your mate, and when she receives this, it actually makes her feel like the completer and the helper that God intended her to be. And likewise, it helps the husband feel like he's valuable, and it motivates him in building relationships. And this is the fourth principle, that we learn how to appreciate and praise our mate. Expressing appreciation for our mate. Now, that's like two different halves of a coin. And when they're brought together, they are complete. And a woman feels completed when she hears the expression of appreciation. So she knows where she is being approved of in the relationship. Because, you see, the scripture says that her desires will be for her husband. In Genesis 3:16. But if he doesn't express appreciation, she's frustrated and doesn't know where she does fit together in that oneness in their relationship. So we say to a husband that he needs to find at least one area every day of their relationship where he expresses appreciation. At least one area of her life. Something that he approves of, that he really appreciates in her. Because, you see, we tend to be negatively oriented as human beings. We tend to see the negative. We tend to see the unusual as human beings. If I say something like this, 2 plus 2 is 4, and 7 plus 3 is 10, and 6 plus 5 is 11, and 4 plus 6 is 12, and 3 plus 9, what happens? What usually happens is that people can pick up the mistake because it's unusual. It's different. And how many of you can remember the second set of numbers I used? See, very few people can remember the second number. There's always a brainy one in the group. Most people forget the normal and remember the unusual, the different, because we tend to be negatively oriented. Now, that's so true in relationships as husband and wife. Husband will come home, walk through the house, look around and see something unusual. Toy left out, bike in the driveway. Hey, who left that bike there? Hey, what's this doing here? Hey, how come that cobweb's up there? There might be 10 things right about the home. He'll spot the one wrong. You can sit down at dinner. And I have a tendency to do this as a man. I'll sit down at dinner and there'll be 10 things right about the meal. And I find the one thing that's wrong. Hey, how long did you cook this corn anyway? Or, oh, I got a new bread here. I see a new brand of bread here now. Or something. Where's the salt? You know, there's 10 things right. Isn't it interesting that I cannot say something about the 10 things that are right? At least one of them. Instead of mentioning the one thing that's wrong. Now, men need to realize that when you start picking out the things that are wrong in a woman, women have a tendency to become a part, as Cecil Osborne says, of their environment. They become an extension of their children, of their environment, their home, the wall, the meal, their clothing, the way they have their hair. And when a wife comes up to her husband and says, honey, how do you like my hair? See, we don't have a whole lot of time to respond. If we aren't dwelling with them and understanding, we can miss that opportunity. Because, see, they have a radar system, you know, and it's on all the time. It goes off a few hours at night, but it's right back on in the morning. And the scripture says that a woman's hair is her crown of glory. And if we find some things wrong and point those things out, her whole being feels bad. If you sit out at dinner and point out one thing wrong with the dinner, the whole dinner is a mess. It's the whole thing's wrong. And she gets upset, maybe starts crying. He says, honey, don't get so bent out of shape. It's just a little corn. See, we have an ability to isolate ourselves or separate ourselves from our environment. We can be sitting at the table, and maybe one of our children poking the other one, and we say, would you stop that right now? Dry that up and cut that out. See, we can be real harsh, and our wife can feel terrible. Now, we didn't say a thing to her. We said it to the kids. But she's feeling bad because children are an extension of their wife. And if we don't live with our wife in understanding, we can miss that kind of thing. We can actually step on her spirit by yelling at the kids. And most wives can tell how the husband is doing with the children in the relationship if we asked. But because we tend to find the unusual, a husband has to recognize that we make a decision to decrease our negative activities and increase our positive reinforcement of our mate. That's a decision, men. Just like honor, nurture, all of them. Oneness, praise, those are all decisions. Now, we don't have to feel it necessarily. I've had husbands say, wait a minute. If I don't like the way my wife's hair looks, I'm not going to say that it looks nice. Hey, you can say something about it. You like the color, you like the style, you like something about it. The curl. You know, there's something you can find about it that you really appreciate. But to say something right on the spot about what you're, if you're just ready to go on a date or something, out in the evening, if you say something about it, it wrecks the whole evening at times. And she's not speaking to you, and you feel tense. And that type of thing has happened to me in the past. Because I never realized how sensitive a woman is in the area of receiving praise versus receiving criticism. Now, what are the areas that we want to really praise or accept in our wife, in our mate? And a woman needs to be mindful of a man. There are areas we need to be shown expressions of appreciation because it motivates us. But the main areas that a man can learn to appreciate his wife is, number one, her sensitivity and alertness. Because she's so sensitive, I can say, thank you, God, that my wife is helping me to build relationships. I don't want her to be insensitive. I don't think a woman can be too sensitive because, see, the more sensitive she is, the more alert I become to life, which helps me in every area of my life, even in my business dealings, because it just helps me become more alert. I remember one time that Norma and I were, or I was watching television, a football game or something, on a Saturday afternoon. I saw Norma come into the kitchen to make sandwiches for everyone. She prepared them and brought them to the table, and the kids came to the table and ate them, and she ate hers. And I was only 15 feet from them, and she didn't make me one. And I thought, boy, I thought these women are supposed to be so sensitive, you know, alert. Where's my sandwich? And I was getting real irritated inside and saying to her, any second she's going to say something about where mine is. She cleaned up, went off, the kids left, and there I was. Nothing. I thought, boy, that's the nerve. You know, I got up and went in there and made my sandwich. You know, I didn't even offer. And I went back and ate it. And I knew enough not to say anything right then. But it was getting me, see? It bothered me. And the next day, it was still in my mind. So I said to her, I said, honey, I don't want you to make a big deal out of this or anything. But just out of curiosity, something happened yesterday. I'd just like to ask you about why it happened. She said, sure, what is it? I said, no, I don't want you to make a big deal out of this. She said, oh, yeah. And I said, when I was watching that football game yesterday and you made sandwiches for everyone, could you explain to me why you didn't make me one? And she looks at me with this puzzled look like, I don't know. And she said, you mean you don't know? And I said, no, I don't know. Is it written on the wall here somewhere? You know, I don't know why you didn't make me a sandwich. She said, well, I just wasn't up to it. And I said, you weren't up to it? What does that have to do? Only 60 seconds or so. She says, no, no, that's not it. She says, I just emotionally wasn't up to being criticized. And I said, being criticized? She said, yes. She said, I just was kind of down and just wasn't up to being raked over the coals by you. And I said, what do you mean by that? She said, well, every time I make you a sandwich, there's always something wrong with it. And you always point it out. I said, that can't be. She said, well, yeah, let's rehearse it. She said, every time I bring you a sandwich, it's either too much mayonnaise or it's the wrong order. I put the butter on first and the mayonnaise second, or is this how old is this bread, or when did you get this bread, or the chips? What kind of chips are we using now? Have these been in the refrigerator? No. How come there's not ice in my milk? You know, something is always wrong. And I wasn't aware of that at all. I was really amazed. But I was also amazed at how it was affecting her. And I didn't want to be involved in that. And that was several years ago. And to my knowledge, to this day, I have not criticized the sandwich. Now, we've talked recently, and she said maybe you haven't criticized all the sandwiches, but there's some other things that I've not been aware of that I've been criticizing. So I asked her just recently, well, give me those areas too, because I don't want to be criticizing those areas either. Especially at the time. Now, some men think to themselves, are you suggesting that we can't be honest with our mate and tell her when she's doing something wrong? No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is the timing. At the meal is not the time to say something. Especially if you don't have a good relationship with her anyway. Build the relationship first. And then if you need to say something about the way she cooks corn or something, you can say it about halfway in the day, but not at the mealtime because it wrecks the meal. It wrecks it for her. It strains your relationship. It doesn't motivate. You know, men think to themselves, I know how to motivate my wife. I'll point this out to her with logical enthusiasm, analytical enthusiasm. Uh-uh, men. It doesn't motivate them. It demotivates them. And that's not logical. I used to think, well, I'll just point it out and she'll be all excited about doing this next time. Mm-mm. They don't get excited about it. What they get excited about is hearing what we appreciate. I know the wives who have lost their total desire to cook because the children and the husband criticizes the meal. And they lay these meals day after day after day, and they just have to take such hassle, and after a while, the joy is gone. The sparkle leaves. When it's not there, one of the reasons is that we haven't learned to praise. If any of you men are managers, you know what builds morale around there, praising your employees. You know what tears down the morale, breaks the spirit of your employees, is criticism, angry criticism, putting them down, dishonoring them. That's extremely important in building a relationship. Well, there are other things that are very important for a woman. Number two, her physical weaknesses, quote, weaknesses. A man needs to be aware of how sensitive a woman is and how he can honor her by being careful with her. See, when a woman is really valuable, she's like a fine piece of china, crystal, and you can be careful with her when you value her. But if you're not aware of that kind of thing, she can actually become calloused and actually be involved in demotivating her. I know of a woman who had planned for a long time to go to this woman's activity. It was during the winter time where it got about 20 degrees, and she had really been excited about it. The day came, she came, went out of her house to get into her car, she put the key in, and the car wouldn't start. Battery was dead. So she was discouraged right off. She had really looked forward to this time of being with these other ladies. So she dragged herself back into the house, disappointed. She lived out in the country. And when she got to the door was locked. She left the key in. So she went down all the further. She looked around for the key that she was tried to hide once before and couldn't find it. So she took off to go towards someplace where she could call her husband. She was picked up by a teenager who was really sensitive to her and asked her what her problem was, and she told him. And he took her to her husband's employment. When she got there, she told the receptionist, could she see him? He comes out to the lobby. You know what he said to her? The words that came out of his mouth caused her little spirit to go, whoop. Now, she was already feeling terrible because of what had happened. He said to her, what are you doing here? That was the first thing he said. And, of course, that's real welcome, you know, time. And she said, well, honey, I locked myself out of the house, and I couldn't get the car started. Oh, no. I told you to hide that key in a place where we could find it. When are you ever going to learn that kind of thing? See, no encouragement, no praise. Her spirit was just closing more and more. There's something he could have done right on the spot. He could have praised her for her desire to go and be with those ladies and to grow. He also could have done what we're going to share in the seventh area when we get to it. That could have encouraged her and strengthened her right on the spot. In fact, it's what every woman that I've ever interviewed asked for above every one of these principles. There's something he could have if he had dwelt with her in understanding, but he missed it. And it caused her little spirit to close up. And even to this day, their relationship looks like a wilted plant because he does not understand how motivating it is to a woman to be praised and to be treated like a woman. Third area, her memory. What a super area to praise in your wife. I used to resist my wife's memory because she could remember everything. She could remember when I offended her when we were dating. In fact, what I was wearing when I offended her when we were dating. And used to really bother me. Are you going to bring that up again? You know what I have found? That's a tremendous asset for a woman, that God has given her a great memory. Because if I want an open spirit with my wife, I'm glad she can remember everything. You know when her memory stops bringing up things in the past? When she knows that I understand how she hurt. The moment she understands, she doesn't have to bring it up again. The moment I understand. That's exactly what I found. She doesn't bring up our old wounds anymore. Those things are covered because I've cleared them up. Of course, I have new ones now and then that I have to clear up every day, you know, off and on. Especially when there's tension around the house, stress. That's when you're more susceptible to offending each other, causing each other's spirit to close up. But every day, when we know that and we can praise her memory, I say, God, thank you for Narma's memory. Thank you for the memory you've given women to help us develop relationships. Four, her emphasis on personal relationships. You know, a lot of guys can change their vocations in a day at times. If a new opportunity comes up, something, a new position comes up, they have to transfer to a new city, they can get tanked up on that. They say, great, this is exciting. You know what happens? They go home and tell their wife, and she goes to pieces. And she feels terrible, and she might cry. You know, honey, we can't go. Honey, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Instead of living with her and understanding, if we don't realize she's involved in personal relationships, she might not want to leave the room she's decorated for her son or daughter, because that means something to her. Where we can separate ourselves and that kind of thing. A room is a room. You've seen one room, you've seen them all, type of thing, you know. We're on for bigger and better things. But she is plugged into relationships. One fellow got a promotion where he was going to be a millionaire, a new job, had to move across country. He called his wife on the phone and says, honey, guess what? I got the job. We're going to be millionaires in a year. All the things we've ever wanted. We're going to move in a month. Isn't that exciting? She weeps over the phone. And he gets angry. Because he thinks, hey, this is our chance. What are you doing crying? You know what she was crying about? Because she had just decorated she was pregnant, which is a whole new set of circumstances, of physical changes going on inside, emotional changes. She had just finished decorating the baby's room. Just finished. Now to him, that was ridiculous. But it's relationship. She started thinking of leaving the family, the relatives, her close friends that she had made. He was ready to go. He was thinking, we'll make new friends. But that's not easy for her to do just like that. Isn't it great, men, that God has given us women that help us slow down? Because, you see, you move children too fast without considering their spirit, and you can really strain your relationship with them. And our wife comes in to help us in slowing down. Now, she can be vocationally minded and be challenged in vocations and want new opportunities and so on. But in general, even in their vocational opportunities, they like to build relationships. That's where they shine. And they're very sensitive to when relationships are not right in their vocation. So it's extremely important that we pay attention to knowing what really flowers out a relationship. And one of those is praise. Now, how do you find out in praising your wife what she appreciates about being praised? My wife said to me one time, Gary, never worry about praising me too often. Because I asked her, how often do you like to be praised? She said, don't worry, I've got a bottomless capacity to receive praise. She said, anytime you want. If anything, I'm going to err on the side of not praising enough. And so the ways I find out about how to praise my wife and how she's really feeling when I praise her. See, there's certain areas you can praise and certain areas you can't. And that's what you have to discover in your wife. And one of the ways we do this is by using the revolving communication method. And basically what it is that you let your wife share her feelings about how she's feeling about something, and then you paraphrase what you think she's saying. And when she says, yes, you've got it, then you can go on. Otherwise, you keep paraphrasing and rephrasing, you see, because we're in two different worlds, basically, as men and women. And we need to enter in each other's world. And one of the ways you do that is by paraphrasing. Now, some of your men are wondering, Well, if I do that kind of thing, well, when can I criticize my wife? When is it appropriate? Because some of you are thinking that. Some of you are not thinking how often you can praise them. Some of you are thinking, well, when can I get, you know? And so there is a way that you can criticize somebody, because Scripture says in Proverbs 15:1 and in Ephesians 4:32, there is a way to criticize somebody. And that's in extreme carefulness, gentleness, and tenderness. Because a soft answer is received by a person when you're criticizing them. Soft, gentle, tender communication. It's like a Michigan state patrolman said to me one time. He said, I used to pull people over on the highway, and every time they reacted, became angry. Never received my giving them a ticket. They were always angry by the time I came up there, always saying, this is all you guys got to do is pull over innocent citizens like me, and you ought to be out catching all these criminals. You know, they'd get upset at him and swear at him, and he says, what a horrible experience to pull people over and have that response every time. He said there was an older patrolman that would pull people over on the road, and nobody would get mad at him. They would receive what he said. They never got angry, and they were pleasant. And finally he got up the nerve, he said to this older fellow, what do you do so you don't get the reaction that I get? And this older gentleman said, there's something really simple I do. In fact, he said he went through about four different things he actually did, but it all took just seconds. When he would approach the car, he had a smile on his face. You know what a smile shows? Acceptance. Okay, you're important. Second thing he would do is he would greet the person. Good morning, good afternoon, whatever. Third, he would say, how you doing? He would enter into their world, empathy. How's your day been going? After the smile and after the greeting. The guy would say, oh, you wouldn't believe this went wrong, that went wrong, now you pull me over. And he'd say, boy, you really had a tough day, haven't you? So he would empathize, feel with the person. Then he would say, could I see your driver's license? And it was at that time they would hand over their, no reaction. You know what we find with husband and wife relationship? When a husband takes the time to be tender, to enter into her world, maybe there's a reason why she's been doing what she's been doing. Do you know what we find? Whenever there's a strain in a husband-wife relationship, and it's a prolonged, persistent strain, usually it can be traced to a husband's lack of genuine Christ-like love in that relationship. We had a guy that came to our... we have all kinds of marriage groups that get together in small groups in their home, and I've been the leader of several of those. One time I was leading this one particular group where this husband came in the door like this, you know, sat down in the chair, just sort of like this, and his wife came in, her eyes were all puffy and red, you know, tears. She sat across the room, and she was kind of looking down, and I could see, you know, big trouble. I'm the leader, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? So we opened in prayer, and I thought, well, I'll start with him. So I said, we'll just start with you tonight. How are things going in your marriage? He said, terrible. I said, oh. I said, well, what's up? He says, well, I was thinking about getting out of this group, but I've changed my mind. I'm going to get out of my marriage. And his wife was right across. He said, there are so many things I dislike about my wife, I can't handle it anymore. So I thought, ooh. Well, you know what happened right on the spot? All the wives did the same thing. They all glared at him and comforted her. You know what the husbands did? Now what do we do? You know, unanimous. You know, we didn't know what to do. And I'm the leader of the group, and I don't know what to do. So we had a little time of prayer, and then we dismissed for the evening. And but before we left, I asked the fellow, I said, now look, are you going to leave her right away? And he said, no. I said, well, can you wait just a few more days? I said, how about you and I have lunch tomorrow? We'll talk about this. He said, fine. So the next day, I got together with him for lunch. I said, now tell me what you don't like about your wife. He went through about seven things he didn't like. He didn't like her housekeeping. He didn't like she was on the phone all the time. He didn't like she was with her mother all the time and never wanted to go anywhere with him, and so on and so on. Well, I said, what would you do if I could show you that some of the things you really dislike about your wife, you're even partly responsible for? He says, oh, how can you say that? Well, when we are nurturers of our family and growing our family relationship, sometimes we can be putting the wrong things in there. Like if this was an African violet, well, this is a fern. And if I put this fern out in the Texas sun in July and August without the proper amount of shade and water, it's going to be gone. All the leaves are going to look like this one. They're all going to be brown. You know? It won't take very long. So if I'm going to nurture this plant, I've got to know what kind of condition, what kind of soil it needs, and how much water and fertilizer and so on. So that's the same thing it is with each relationship. We have to know what that particular relationship needs. Well, I went one at a time. I said, let's take the fact that she's on the phone too much. I said, do you ever spend intimate time in communication with your wife every day? How much time do you spend? You know what he said? I don't think very much. Well, I said, give me a typical day. Well, he says, I get up in the morning and I play racquetball with my friends or something. I do different things. I go to work. I come home, watch a little TV, eat. Sometimes I turn the TV so while we're eating. Then I watch a little TV or sports afterwards, and then we go to bed. I said, is your wife real responsive to you physically? No, not really. In fact, he says, I get angry. Oh, that's real motivating. And I said, so you don't spend a lot of time in just intimate communication, just talking with her and relating and finding out her day and her world and where she is. No, he said, I don't do much of that. I said, you know, a woman has such a need to communicate that if you don't communicate, she'll get on the phone. She'll find a friend because the need is so great that she'll find a way to express it. Otherwise, the relationship gets so strained, she gets so uptight that it takes the sparkle out of her life. And it doesn't take that long to take it out. You know, a lot of husbands know how to romance and communicate their wife before marriage. But after marriage, it goes. Like one girl that was helping me on my books, she said that I knew I was marrying the last sensitive man. But when I, 2 weeks after we married, I could have sworn he sneaked out and had surgery on his brain and came back in. She said because it was gone. The desire to communicate, the romantic things, it was just left. And you see, if he doesn't realize the tremendous need for that, then it just goes. See, I said to him, she's a messy housekeeper, huh? I said, do you praise your wife a lot? Do you express appreciation for the way she keeps the house and what she does as a person? And he said, no, not that often. I said, you mean you don't? I said, what do? He says, well, I said, do you criticize her a lot in anger? Oh, yeah, I do that a lot. I said, oh. I said, no wonder she's not a neat housekeeper. I said, give me an example of what you say to her. He said, well, I'm kind of embarrassed. I said, I just said this the other day. He says, you really want to hear this? I said, yeah, I want to hear it. He says, well, he says, I got up about 6:30 the other morning, and I was vacuuming the living room. And she got up and said, honey, what are you doing? He said, I'm sick and tired of living in this pig pit. I went, ooh, highly demotivating. You know, when a woman thinks she's going to be criticized, at times it even immobilizes them. Because most wives are afraid of their husbands. They don't like the hassle. They don't like the turmoil and the conflict that comes. So they're real careful not to do certain things. You know, have you ever known a wife that when her husband, she hears him pulling into the driveway, kids, get the toys here, get this, just that. And she looks around, is everything okay? Because the husband comes bombing in and she does not like the hassle. And if we don't realize how demotivating it is, but how motivating and encouraging it is when a man expresses appreciation for his mate, and when a woman expresses appreciation. I love it when Norma praises me, finds my strong points, and expresses how she really loves it. And I like that. And later we're going to get into talking how a woman can express specifically appreciation to her husband. But this is the fourth area of building relationships. Strengthening and encouraging any relationship is learning how to praise. Now, next time we get together, we're going to talk about how you as a mate can increase your love for your mate just like that. Just by making a decision, your love will start to grow immediately. It's just like honor. You have a tendency of your love to grow, emotional love. This is another one of how your love can grow. Also, you'll discover you can become wise right on the spot by making a decision that makes you wise. It's up to you. You can make a decision to be foolish, or you can make a decision to be wise. And that's what we'll get involved with next time.